Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
Anytime you're, especially adolescent, says something, especially in the heat of battle, almost never do they mean what they say. It's coming from some other place. One of their key longings is, I long to belong. But I long to belong in a way that says, you care enough about me to seek me out. So when I say, you don't even know me, what they're actually saying is, I want you to know me. Please take some time to look inside of me and to listen to me. But we always turn it around because we take the words that they say and we turn it around and put it through our own lens of our needs. And that's where we get in trouble.
Youth culture is a kind of an interesting thing for us parents to try to figure out. And yet, if you have teens or preteens in the home, it's important for you as a parent to be proactive in wanting to connect with your kids. Today on the Homeward broadcast, you're going to hear parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns talk with parenting and family expert Dr. Chap Clark about reconnecting with kids in an online culture. From the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University, welcome to Homeward with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns. I'm Roger Marsh. Homeward able to broadcast to you every day on the air and online because of your prayers and faithful financial support. You can give a gift online to support us at homeward.com. And now, here's Jim. Welcome to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns, and I'm smiling today. Very much a privilege for me to have Chap Clark with us. We're talking about reconnecting with kids in an online culture, and frankly, I can't think of anybody more important or influential to have a conversation with today about that, and that's what all of us want. We want our kids to reconnect with us and be connected with us, but it's not always easy. Chap Clark is the Vice Dean of Regional Campuses for Fuller Theological Seminary. He also serves there as their Director of Youth and Family Ministry Programs. He's written several great books. One of my favorite is Hurt, Inside the World of Today's Teens. Written a great book here called Disconnected, Parenting Teens in a MySpace World. It's great to have you. You wrote it with your wife, Dee. Great to have you with us.
Thanks, Jim. Great to be here.
Well, I appreciate you coming down, and I always say to people, in fact, I said it yesterday to somebody, check out what Chap Clark is doing because you just do so much great stuff. Constant change. I mean, I read this in your book. Change is our kids' one constant in life. And that's really the case for adolescents today, isn't it?
Yeah, everything's changing. It's not just TV shows or music tastes. It's everything around them. And it's changing almost exponentially, where what we encountered when we were kids is so vastly different from what our kids encounter now. It's a completely different world, and we as parents have to get up to speed with what our kids are going through.
Yeah, you know, I say to parents all the time, you got to be students of the culture, but the culture has changed. A lot of times parents will still say, well, you know, when I was a teen, but really that almost doesn't work anymore. We really have to be students of the culture. We have to, you know, understand what is being thrown at them. I was reading in your book that basically the kids today who are teenagers, I mean, they think computers have always been able to fit in the backpack. And, you know, life has changed. But also when it comes to sexuality, morality, drug and alcohol abuse use, the whole thing, it's just really different, isn't it?
Everything's different. And it's not only that. It's things like homework is so much different.
Right.
And the number of kids that are deeply struggling is so much greater than when we were kids. Their understanding of how to fit into adult society and how to please the people that have agendas for them is far more difficult now than it was even 20 years ago.
Well, you know, I found, and I'm sure that you and Dee also found this, parents of three kids. We have three kids, and your kids are in their 20s, and so are ours now, so we're kind of in the same, you know, place there. But I got this from your book, Spiritual, Emotional, and Psychological Development is Interconnected. And I found that very hard to do. It's so easy to get fragmented. And you write about this. I mean, talk about how we have to interconnect all that stuff as opposed to kind of, okay, now we're going to do this, then we're going to do this. How do you blend them?
Well, part of the problem is we in the church, so many of us as Christians have separated our spiritual life with the rest of our life. And spiritual growth, we get this idea that if we'll do certain things or say certain things or read certain things, then we'll grow as Christians regardless of what happens in our relationships with our families, what's going on with our parents, what's going on at school or in sports. And development of the human person, you can't separate or fragment. And actually, Jesus grew up in a culture that knew that absolutely. The scriptures are written from the perspective of we are whole people, and yet we've all grown up in a culture that separates it out as if we have a whole lot of different selves, and that's just not true.
No, that's fascinating when you think about it. And again, you know, I think a lot of us parents, we don't understand adolescence. And for a lot of parents, we would go with the myth that kids want to be separated from us. But what you're saying is, no, kids don't want to be separated. I mean, they're moving from dependence to independence, and it's a process, and I want to get into that process later. But you're saying there's kind of a separation myth. No, they want to be connected with us.
Every bit of research out there says kids are just screaming to be connected, not only their parents, but all kind of adults. What happens is, though, they have to change roles, and they intuitively know this. When they hit around 11 or 12, they have to shift out of the role of child, where they really are a good friend often to their parents, and they move into a new role of adolescent, trying to figure out their own sense of self, knowing that they have to now insert themselves into adult society, whereas before, hundreds of years ago, but in every culture around the globe, the adults took care of that for kids. Now it's our kids' job to become adults.
But really, when you say 100 years ago, even 100 years ago and hundreds of years ago, definitely, but adolescence was a very short time. But today, you're saying that there's kind of three stages of adolescence. There's early adolescence, mid-adolescence, which is a new phrase for me, and then late adolescence or even emerging adulthood. So some adults who are like 20, 22, 25, you're saying they still have a little bit of adolescence in them.
There is... Well, not just a little bit of adolescence in them. There is so much evidence out there that this thing called adolescence is lengthening. And the definition of adolescence, essentially, is that I'm now on my own to enter adulthood, so I entered a new stage of exploring how to become an adult. And over the last several decades, that's become more and more difficult for kids because they're more and more isolated. So as it's lengthened, every decade that goes by, this thing gets a little bit longer. So we have films like Failure to Launch. Not a great film, but that principle is there. And the new TV show, Kath and Kate, I don't know how long it's going to last. Maybe not as long as this program, actually. But it's not a great show at all. But the idea of this daughter who kind of comes home and expects her mom to treat her like a 15-year-old again when she's in her 20s. It's just a fact that this thing is lengthening. And therefore, what popped into the middle is new mid-adolescence. The marker of early is your concrete and everything. Late adolescent or emerging adulthood is your more abstract but not quite landed. This new thing called mid-adolescence, we term it from our research, egocentric abstraction. I'm aware that I impact others, but I don't have the energy to give a lot of attention to it.
Yeah. And yet at the same time, that's a time when sometimes parents are bailing on their teens. I mean, they've done a pretty good job through age 12, and now there's this tension. And so one of the things that you're saying is, no, these kids feel abandoned. And yet I want you to unpack that, because John Roseman and some others who come on our show say that you know, we have these helicopter parents who are smothering their kids, and I happen to think some of our homeward people kind of do that, and yet some of the kids are saying, wait, I feel abandoned. Is that the same family?
Well, actually, abandonment, a helicopter parent, if it really is a good definition of helicopter parent, is where a parent is much more concerned with their own perception of what their kids is going through, as opposed to being a support to that kid. A really solid parent that's committed to their kid shouldn't be called a helicopter parent, even if they talk to their kid three times on the cell phone when they're in college. If we do smother them, or if we do force them, or if we do overindulge them, that's a form of abandonment, because it's more about the parent than it is about the kid.
Yeah.
So what the key is the parents have to recognize that kid's on a trajectory that's very lonely and isolating, very difficult, and very different. And if the parents recognize that, then they need to proactively help that kid in the best way possible.
Yeah. Now, it's interesting that you said, Chap, that so many parents kind of have their own agendas. And I know that you and Dee, by the way, wrote this with you, and she's a family therapist and a great one. You challenge parents to be aware of our own personal agendas. And we've got to kind of put those on the back burner. I want you to talk about what that actually means as you're parenting through, you know, the stage.
Well, this is a little tough to put on radio, especially your program of these great folks that love you, and I love you, and we've known each other for a long time. The fact is, though, the parents now of preteens, teens, and even young adults are really Gen Xers. They were wounded by their own adolescence, and those of you that are listening, you know, I'm not meaning to insult you, but there is the reality that so many of us in the 30 to 50 age group are wounded by our own adolescent experience. And we got to be really careful that we don't bring our own needs, our own baggage, our own struggles, and try to force our kids into somehow healing our own wounds. And that is so typical, even in the church, and sometimes especially in the church.
That's fascinating. Well, listen, we're going to have to take a break. We'll be right back. What a privilege today. Chap Clark is with us, and we're talking about connecting with our kids, reconnecting with kids in an online culture. He's written a great book called Disconnected. It's a book that I'm sure passing out, Parenting Teens in a MySpace World. If you want to understand adolescence, then I'm going to recommend this book to you, Disconnected. Roger.
Well, we are having a great conversation today here on the Homeward Broadcast. Hope you're enjoying the discussion between parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns and parenting and family expert Dr. Chap Clark. We're talking about reconnecting with kids in an online culture, and whether your kids are using Facebook all the time or they're tweeting or they're still, you know, there are 100 million people who still use MySpace. It's a very, very powerful medium, even though it seems to be downplayed a lot in the media. Kids like to connect there because they really want to connect in relationships, and they think they can do it electronically. It's up to us as parents to show them what real relationships look like, starting with a real relationship with Jesus Christ. And we'll hear more of this conversation on the other side of this break. You're listening to Homeward with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns at homeward.com.
I'm Jim Burns with today's Homeward Snapshot.
What do you mean they lost my invoice? I've got a big meeting here tomorrow. That shipment has to be here no later than 9 sharp, all right? Good. Call me as soon as you hear back from them.
Wow, Dave, weren't you getting a little rough with that supplier?
That's no supplier. That's my mom. Tom, I'm 27 years old. You think after all this time she'd get my dry cleaning to me on time?
You know, that would be almost funny if it weren't so true in the case of many young adults today. There's a new term for many 20-something adults. They're called adult assets. In other words, they're 25 years old but have the life skills of a teenager. If you're a parent, you've got to remember that your primary purpose with your kids is to raise them to be responsible adults, not just really great kids. And to help you do just that, I've written a new tip sheet called Helping Your Kid Become a Responsible Adult. You can download a free copy from our website at homeward.com.
Welcome back. I'm Jim Burns. We're talking today about reconnecting with kids in an online culture. The culture is different. We say it here all the time. You've got to be students of the culture. I can't think of a better person to have with us than Chap Clark. He's the Vice Dean of Regional Campuses for Fuller Theological Seminary, but he's also known as one of the key youth and family experts in the world today, and it's so great to have him in our studio. He's written this book, Disconnected, Parenting Teens in a MySpace World, with his wife, Dee Clark, who is also a very good family therapist. Now, Chap, I want to look at the media for a second, because media and culture, you're saying, and I agree with you, are telling both parents as well as kids that the key to happiness is for every kid to keep adults out of their lives.
And yet, they absolutely know, without question, we did a lot of focus groups. There's a bunch of research that goes behind all this stuff, that they need adults to become adults, and they want adults. What they know, though, is adults almost always have a self-serving agenda, and by the time they hit about 15 or 16, they're literally sick of it, because they realize that almost all adults they've dealt with love them, care for them, include them, if and when they perform according to the agenda of the adults, as opposed to being there really to help that kid. And kids collectively recognize this by the time they hit 15 or 16.
You know, I have parents all the time say, you know, I really don't get my kid. You know, I just don't understand it. And you have something that you call three tasks of adolescence, and I kind of want to walk through them with you, and I want to take the first one. You know, the first task is identity. Who am I? Help kids today, and I've even heard this, that basically that summarizes what an adolescent is going through is this identity. They're almost either in an identity crisis or trying to figure out who they are.
Well, they are trying to figure out who they are, and almost across the board for mid-adolescents, 15 to 20-year-olds, they live out of multiple identities. This is pretty complicated to explain. We really try to do it well in the book.
You did well, too.
We use a metaphor of candles that if we all are a one-room house with multiple windows of settings and people that we interact with, when you're a mid-adolescent, you don't have the core identity yet. So you've got to be somebody in a class or with a teacher, a coach, a friend, a parent, a youth worker, youth pastor. And therefore, you actually live out of different selves. And parents recognize this, but it's tough for them to remember that. So when a parent says to a kid leaving for school, you know, be yourself, honey. You know, make good choices, be yourself. And the kid goes, that's really helpful. Thanks. Boy, you've changed my life. As opposed to going, you have no idea what you're talking about. I got over 1,000 poems, notes, letters from kids when I did this study. That was the first book, Hurt. And 70% of those letters were talking about identity. I have no idea who I am, but everybody's expecting me to be this person they want me to be. And so it's really, we've all bought into identity formation. But theologically, the scriptures seem to teach identity discovery, that our identity is rooted in creation, redemption, and calling, as opposed to rooted in all the stuff that we do. It's more internal. It's more intrinsically who we are as God sees us.
Well, how do you help a kid who is 15 years old? They definitely don't know who they are. And yet you want them to have an identity that's rooted in Christ and in Christian values.
To, A, model it. Making sure we're living out of our identity in Christ, but secondly, help them to come to know Jesus without externals. Christian values is not talked about in the scriptures. Following, trusting, understanding what it means to love and hear the voice of God, that's what the scriptures talk about. So getting kids up close to Jesus, to model that for them, and to let them know that he has specifically created them, redeemed them, and called them to this magnificent kingdom, life, and work. And therefore, each kid is gifted. Don't buy into the educational system that says some kids are gifted. They're not. All kids are gifted. And that's their identity, their unique giftedness, their unique person that God's created.
That's important. You know, the second task that you talk about is autonomy. And I think this is tough for kids and tough for parents.
Yeah.
Kids are asking, you know, do I and my choices matter is what you're saying. And yet I find that a lot of parents are saying, wow, you know, I was basically controlling my kid at age 10 because they couldn't go to the mall and they couldn't do this. And now they're in this kind of limbo land where I'm not sure I trust them at the mall. I'm not sure I trust them online. I'm not sure I trust them with that opposite sex relationship. And yet at the same time, kids are saying, trust me.
They are, and yet parents' job is to make sure our boundaries are tight enough that if they're not the place we should trust them, we still love and trust them within the boundaries that are appropriate. But you brought up the internet. I think every Christian family, every family in America ought to get rid of wireless internet in the home until a kid's 18 or 19 years old, because it's handing sharp knives to three-year-olds. It's not about trust. It's about the developmental reality and the access the internet gives to kids. So we need to reshape our family rooms, have one wired computer in the home, that kind of thing. But autonomy is about choices, but choices are the response of autonomy. They're not the essence of the issue. The essence of the issue is a kid, to become an adult, has to feel like they have personal power, that they believe they matter, and that they bring agency. And that's kind of complicated.
What do you mean agency?
It means they're an agent of change in God's universe, that God's given them the calling and the authority and the mandate to change the world for his good.
Well, you know, that's neat. We actually, not too long ago, had these two young men, the Harris brothers, remember this, Roger, who were in our studio, and they were like, you can change the world, and they're changing the world. I mean, these are 18-year-old guys who I'm going, unbelievable. They're articulate. They get it. But, you know, I'm thinking about the vast majority of people who are listening going, wait, my kids are just trying to figure out what they're going to do Friday night, and they don't have this let's go change the world attitude. How do you move them?
Well, it's because I don't think we ought to talk about changing the world. I think, and even in that particular case, in my opinion, developmentally, those guys are going to go through some tough roads.
Yeah.
Because of a whole other issue. But they almost certainly, it's almost impossible that they've developed the inner sense of personal power and self. The strength of self is what scholars talk about. So instead of talking about changing the world, it's so abstract, we need to help kids to realize you are gifted, you are powerful, and that how you use that power that God's given you is what matters. And we as your parents and your church and your friends are going to surround you to help you learn and to count on the fact you have a self that matters. That's the developmental issue with kids.
Well, you know, the last task brings that right up, belonging. You know, where do I fit in? Seems to be more and more students are saying, I'm not sure I do fit in. I'm not sure I fit into this family. I'm definitely not sure I fit into the church. I'm not sure I fit in with this group. How do we as parents understand, first of all, that that's a part of adolescence, but then also that that's, they've got to learn to figure out how to belong?
Well, their longing is to connect because they're created to connect. But they've grown up in a culture that's become so isolated and fragmented, even in the church, and again, maybe especially in the church, is that we have really lost what community means. So one of the things that Dee and I are trying to advocate, based on a whole lot of things, is a kind of 5-to-1 ratio for every kid. That as parents, we need to get 5 adults around our kids to love them, to believe in them, to know them, to be a friend to them, so that our kids have the social support network around them as they go through adolescence and then go to college or whatever and move into adulthood. They've got all these, this cloud of witnesses that are there for them. And that's what, we got to give them belonging, not expect them to go find the youth group.
That's a great point. Now, Chap, you believe that there are what you call at least 6 longings of today's adolescents. And I love this. I think it's actually very important whether we have an adolescence, we're going to have an adolescent, or, you know, we had one and now we'll understand why. And one of the longings, and I hear this with my kids, they said, well, you don't really know me. And that was always in the heat of a battle or a heat of a conversation. And what you said is that parents hear, I don't matter to him or her. Explain that one.
Well, it's what they're saying. Anytime you're, especially adolescent, says something, especially in the heat of battle, almost never do they mean what they say. It's coming from some other place. So one of their key longings is, I long to belong.
Yeah.
But I long to belong in a way that says, you care enough about me to seek me out. So when I say, you don't even know me, what they're actually saying is, I want you to know me. Please take some time to look inside of me and to listen to me. But well, we always turn it around, because we take the words that they say and we turn it around and put it through our own lens of our needs. And that's where we get in trouble.
Yeah. And you know what's interesting is, on the practical side, as a parent, I have told parents to do this and I try to do it and then I sometimes flub up. But you know, sometimes our kids want us to know them just by having a conversation about snowboarding or having a conversation about whatever it may be, even though we have a long list of things that we need to talk to them about, their homework, their school, their relationships, on and on. Sometimes we need to put that list aside and literally get to know them by having what some of us would say is kind of a shallow conversation, but they yearn for that.
Well, actually, in the long run, those shallow conversations are far more important than getting their homework done or their room cleaned.
Yeah.
Over time, because it communicates that we believe in them as a person, and that's helping to for them to create the person God has called them
right.
to be.
Right, it's very, very good. And you know, another one, and we could talk about this a lot longer, but you never listen to me. And I hear that with a lot of kids. My parents don't really listen to me. What are they saying?
Well, it's really funny. Parents say, my kids don't listen to me, and kids say, my parents don't listen to me. What they really want is, well, the most intimate of human activities is conversation. It's not sexual. Sexuality actually is a reflection of our desire to be intimate with each other. And real intimacy is conversation. So when you say, you never listen to me, they're saying, please take me seriously. Please have me be someone that matters to you. So therefore, you want to know what I think about something.
We're out of time. We've got to come back next time so we can keep on talking about this. Great stuff, Chap. Thanks for being with us.
Great to be with you.
And that concludes part one of Dr. Jim Burns' 2-part conversation with Chap Clark here on the Homeward Broadcast. We've been talking about reconnecting with kids in an online culture. And Chap Clark has spent many, many years, as has Dr. Jim Burns, looking at the ways of youth. And especially as we are in this hyper-connected world where kids are on Facebook and they're tweeting all the time. And it seems like they're always getting... using their gaming devices and mobile devices to connect with each other. And yet the real relationships that they long for and need start with a relationship with God and a relationship with mom and dad. And you can be an instrument in helping to get that real connection going by reading a book like Disconnected or one of Dr. Jim Burns' books like Confident Parenting or Teenology. You can learn more about these resources when you visit our online resource center at homeward.com. That's HOMEWORD.com. Remember, our website's secure. You can also give a financial gift to support our ministry there as well. And now for Dr. Jim Burns, our engineer Ben Camp, and the rest of the staff, I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks so much for listening. Be sure to join us again next time right here for another edition of Homeward. Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.